That guy in the suit just turned that other guy into a fucking kebab.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Journey into Comics, a podcast about comic books, video games, movies, television, and everything nerd, with your hosts, Nate Phillips, Brandon Stone, and Shuddy Boy.
Tell me, do you bleed? You will.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Journey into Comics. I'm your host, Nate Phillips, and joining me from an alternate universe where all root beer is alcoholic and the earth is flat, it's my good buddy Brando. What's up, man?
Hello. Hello.
How's it going, dude? What's going on?
Oh, it's going pretty good.
How's the flat earth?
The flat earth is flat.
Yeah, we'll get into that later a little bit. Brando, if you guys don't know this, has his own podcast separate from Journey into Comics. I know, shocking. But the podcast is called Sort of Live. I happen to be sort of a fan. I just also happen to be friends with the guy that's on the show. So it's kind of awesome. It's sort of awesome, if you will. But we'll get into that later. What's up, Brando? How you been, man?
I've been okay. Yeah, just kind of working and living the dream, living the life. I'm actually living the dream now and not living the nightmare, which is really good.
Oh, well, that's awesome. It's probably really great for you to have your sleep schedule back, like not crazy night hours. I know that, at least in my case, that once I started to become like a night worker, and I know you did it for many more years than I did, it started to, like, even to this day, I have insomnia because of that. Because it's like my brain, if I stay up past a certain time, It refuses to switch off.
Well, mine does that randomly. It doesn't have a certain time set to that. No, I am glad to be on a, I dare say, normal sleep schedule, or at least a day, you know, sleep schedule. Like we're all raised and sort of ground into our heads that, you know, you get up in the morning, you go to school, or you go to work, and then you come home, and for the evening. And I'm glad to be on that, because tell you what, I have a goal to keep my backyard in good shape this year, and now I can come home and I can mow the yard during the week, because coming home and mowing the yard at 3 a.m, I haven't done because I don't want my neighbors to be mad at me.
It's very frowned upon.
However, okay, dude, so I was, me and my wife, Caitlin, and son, we were hanging out with Rob and Gretchen, and we come home, and it's like 10 o'clock at night, and this is in January, because you know how we had that little mini heat wave in January, or like, it was like right before it got really cold.
Yeah.
Because we still had some of the, you know, December stuff, and then it went, and it got really cold. We got home around 10 o'clock, and there across the street, there's a lady at night, blowing leaves out of her yard.
Man, she really cared about the appearance of the outside of her house at night.
Or it was this weird sort of pseudo leaf blower serial killer.
Like Jason, but instead of a chainsaw, it's a fucking leaf blower.
Yeah, dude. And you're just like sitting here getting like slowly getting like wind burns and rashes. You're like, ow, stop it. Ow, stop it. And she's like, take that.
So, yeah, man, you know, it's maybe that is a great new horror character, you know. She just blows your face clean off. That sounds wrong. I probably shouldn't have said that.
Whoa.
Okay, anyways. We've been dealing with sickness in this house. Sarah's been violently ill for the past couple days. That's not been fun. And then I was a little bit ill, which has not been fun. Our toilet broke. That was not fun.
No, especially not when you're ill.
Oh, especially not when you're ill. But the toilet breaking was a minor issue, and it was quickly fixed, and it only cost like $4. So it wasn't like the bowl cracked or something. That would have been the fucking worst. Like, game over, you know. But yeah, it's been a little sick here. So I've had some time to myself, and with some of the time I've had to myself, I've been actually kind of getting back into comic books, That's also going to be something we talk about a little bit later on today's show. But to start, last night, midnight, it happened, Brando. Boom, Netflix. They dropped Daredevil Season 2. I've not watched any of it. I'm guessing you haven't either. You were probably sleeping.
Yeah, no, I've been at work all day. I came home and, you know, hopped on here to talk to you. And I know I'll be checking it out. Hopefully tonight I can get an episode in tonight. But I'm also not too, putting that in stone yet, because I know the wife wants to watch it too, and she won't be coming back here until a little bit later. That's what sucks about my life right now, because I have X amount of time to do anything, whether that be watch a show, play a game, talk to you, record the show. Sometimes stuff just doesn't match up. Was it 2 weeks ago, House of Cards came out, and I've only watched one episode, because anytime it's like, oh, cool, maybe we'll watch an episode tonight, and it gets like to the point where it's like, damn it, I don't want to start an episode and then stop it because I got to go to bed.
Exactly. You want to make – and me too. I will never like – same with – not only with my TV shows. Like I have to finish an episode. Like if I catch myself and I fell asleep or something, I will be really mad, and I'll be like, okay – you're going to have to go, like, drink some pop or something. Wake up. You have to finish this episode at least. Like, you started it. I don't want to go to bed not knowing the ending. But the same is to be said with comics. I won't just go, oh, I'll get back to finish reading this tomorrow. Like, I want to get through to a good stopping point, you know? I think that's important in your shows and in your reading of things. You've got to, you know, have a good stopping point for yourself and know when to, you know, start over and give yourself some rest. I just tangented on resting for some reason. That was, I felt like I needed to let people know that it's good to rest. Daredevil came out last night. It seems like, Brando, that Netflix is really just starting to take over as like a really awesome place for TV.
You know, they've been really knocking it out of the park for quite some time.
I mean,
a couple years now.
I think there's like five shows now that I watch that I'm happy that I watch on Netflix. I do watch House of Cards. I think we're getting ready to start season three here soon.
Okay.
Or two. I can't remember where we left off. It might be three. Then I've got obviously Daredevil and Jessica Jones, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and then there was a fifth one. What was the last one? Oh, Orange is the New Black.
So
those shows are all really great, and I really like what Netflix is doing. But at the end of Daredevil Season 2, this is no spoiler alert. I'm not going to tell you anything that happens, but they did give us a little – I guess I shouldn't say they gave us anything, Brandon, because we haven't seen it. But they gave the fans what a lot of fans have been clamoring for, our first teaser look at Luke Cage. Marvel did show the Luke Cage logo for the show, and it looks very comic booky. Are you excited about the Luke Cage character? Do you even really care? I mean, I don't know if I know enough about the character to be super pumped, but I'm pumped because I know he leads to the Defenders, I think.
Well, I mean, I think I'm on the same level as you. I mean, I'm aware of the character, and I know a little bit about him, you know, like a slight tidbit, but he's never been a character that I've really dug like deep into. He's been there. I mean, that's just kind of like for me how his character has been. Oh, okay, Luke Cage is here, that's cool. But you know, I do hope the series does well. You know, it's unfortunate for me that I mentioned earlier, it's so difficult for me to sit down and watch something. I feel like I can't binge like I used to be able to and be able to get shows done. But like, I still haven't watched Jessica Jones, even though I kind of wanted to. But at this point, I'm so far behind that with Daredevil coming out, that takes priority over any other show at this point in time.
Yeah, it has to. And I think the only thing that's going to be bad with that, because, Brandon, I'm in the same boat as you. I think we only watched two episodes of Jessica Jones, and then Sarah and I were like, you know what? Veronica has not yet seen Doctor Who, so we like have been like speeding through that. We just finished with the 10th Doctor's story arc, so he just regenerated into 11. So she's there, and because the thing was, we start watching Jessica Jones, and we see David Tennant, and I'm like, oh, it's the Doctor. He's such a fucking awesome mythical character. And in Jessica Jones, he's such a dirtbag character. And I was like, man, if Veronica ever wants to even hope to enjoy Doctor Who, she can't get a negative perception of who David Tennant is as a character. Because I know a lot of times in TV, man, if you play a bad guy and someone sees that first, it's hard to see you play a good guy. easier to see it the other way.
Yeah, well, I mean, the first time I saw him, he was a villain. He was in Barty Crouch
Jr. Barty Crouch Jr. in the fifth Harry Potter, right?
Fourth.
Or fourth. Yeah, it was Goblet. Yeah, my fault. But he wasn't like a major role that was, you know.
Well, he was a major role, but he was playing some other character for like 90% of it.
Exactly. That's what
he was playing. A Mad-Eye Moody.
Yes,
so,
exactly.
So the actor that portrayed Mad-Eye Moody, he was supposed to transfigurate into him via the Polychief's potion. And then there was a flashback where you saw him, and then at the very end you saw him. So he was this crazy, wide-eyed villain. And it's not nearly the same as the kind of villain that he plays in Jessica Jones that pretty much kind of mentally rapes you.
Yeah, exactly. But see, my problem, like we were talking, Brando, is now I've got to go, okay, well, do I first try to watch Jessica Jones and then do Daredevil? Because that's how they came out. That's the order that they were, which they were released. Or do I go ahead, blow through season two of Daredevil just like I did season one, and then if there's any fucking Easter eggs or things I don't get, go back and appreciate them in Jessica Jones later on? You know, that's, I think that's a hard choice for anybody who's only seen the first season of Daredevil. And, you know, Jessica Jones, I've heard great things, nothing but great things, and there's nothing against that show. But as I said, we had a little bit of a roadblock, had to kind of reorganize our thinking. Now that we're done with David Tennant, now we can show her the dark side of David Tennant. And I'm really excited to get back to Jessica Jones, but that all kind of fell by the wayside because I forgot Daredevil was coming out like now.
Really?
Well, I had forgotten all about it. And I mean, I had seen teasers and stuff and I'm like, oh, cool. I can't wait for this to come out. For some reason, I thought it was a couple more weeks out and I kind of had planned like this week was going to be my let's get back into Jessica Jones thing.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that didn't happen because Daredevil came out this week. Fuck. So now I've got to reorganize my thinking of how do I want to watch these things. And, you know, you have to be led to assume that they're good enough stories that they could stand on their own 100%, but very much how Arrow and Flash are this beautiful cooperative universe. I like to see things where maybe Matt Murdock made an appearance on Jessica Jones that's the story between the story. You know what I'm saying?
You know, I do know that I think what's her name? Rosario.
Oh, Rosario Dawson. Yeah,
Night Nurse, essentially. Yeah. She makes an appearance in Jessica Jones, I do believe. And she, like, when they're talking. Now, this is sort of a spoiler, because I've heard this because. Unfortunately, I went so long without watching Jessica Jones that if I ever want to listen to certain podcasts I listen to that talk about comic books, nerdy stuff, this stuff gets talked about. And sometimes I'm just like, you know what? It's been so long. Screw it. I'm at fault now for not have watched it. But there's a quote where I think Jessica's talking about David Tennant's character and how he can sort of like influence your mind and you can do stuff. Well, I think Rosario's character says something to her like, well, I know a friend that sort of, you know, like either has special abilities or she hints at Daredevil essentially.
Yeah.
I know a guy who can help you take care of this guy. And then Jessica flats out turned her down and says, well, if he's as good as you say he is, we don't need him at risk at getting, you know, mind screwed by David Tennant.
Yeah.
So.
I'm going to kind of tie this all together nicely, Brando. So David Tennant, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage coming soon. Daredevil season two was came out on Netflix tonight. So just like we're talking about regeneration with Doctor Who, let's discuss this real quick. The Russo brothers came out and they said, hey, we don't know what we need to do yet. And Infinity Wars is a few years out, but we're not sure if we need to recast the roles of Tony and Captain Rogers, you know, or do we replace and have a new character take up the mantle, if you will. I.e., they aren't sure if they want to do something where, like I had suggested, use the Infinity Gems, and at the end of the movie, whoever sacrifices themselves resets part of the universe, if not all of the universe, and younger, new, talented actors with new, fresh faces can become Tony and Cap, or what, however you want to do it, use the Infinity Gems as your plot device to get there. They are thinking, well, it could be that's fine, that'd be cool, or what if Cap on his, you know, in his dying moment or whatever the fuck is going to happen with Captain America, he literally passes the mantle of Captain America to Bucky. You take over. you can be the hero I never was. You know, you can inspire these people, or whatever the fucking speech is going to be that he'll give as he's, you know, calling it a night and turning the switch off. They're not sure what they want to do, Brandon. My question is, what do you think they should do? I personally think, like I said, I think it'd be really cool if they could essentially reset the universe with the Infinity Gems and get fresh young faces who are much, much younger to play these established characters. But there's a third option I'm going to throw your way here last second. What if the future of the Avengers movies just don't have Cap or Iron Man? There are so many great characters in the Marvel Universe. There's rumors rampant that we're going to get Fantastic Four back. What do you think in all this, dude?
To start off with, I wouldn't recast them.
Okay.
Essentially because now they're established characters, and now, to harken back to what Edward Norton once said about, they asked him if he regretted not coming back as the Hulk, and he once said, he goes, you know, he didn't regret it because he was fun to do it once, because the real downside to continuing to do it is that the fans come to expect you to do it.
Yeah.
So like if he ever, so a lot of the films and projects that he did that he wanted to do, he might not have been able to do due to the commitments of him playing that character. And so there's that. You have, you know, Robert Downey Jr. He is Iron Man and has been for almost 10 years now. That doesn't mean that you couldn't ever recast him. I'm just saying that going forward with this being in the same universe, right, in the same storyline, if you're going to get rid of him, I would just plot device him out, either, you know, by killing him or having him retire or whatever. And then same with Cap. I like your idea of giving it to Bucky and making a star out of him and having him carry the torch, where not necessarily is he going to like don the mask or don the suit, let him have his own look, but have him have the shield, you know?
Exactly. And they did that in the comics. At one point, Bucky has been essentially a Captain America 2.0 or whatever the hell you want to call him. Same thing has been said with Falcon. Anthony Mackie could very easily take that role over and be the next Cap. And that would be interesting, you know, in a totally different and good plot device, you know. But to kind of go back a little bit, though, with the idea of Iron Man, and I want to run this by you. The thing is, the person Tony Stark is more important than the suit. The suit itself, anybody could be inside, ultimately. Yeah. So is there any way to give someone one of Tony's suits and say, you are quote-unquote Iron Man, but you'll never be Tony Stark? Is that something you could see have happening?
Well, we already sort of have that.
With Rhodey.
With Rhodey, where he's War Machine, and you know it's War Machine, but it's pretty much a modified different version of one of Tony's suits. So
Mark,
therefore, I would not, you know, essentially just give the suit. Maybe you couldn't, because you could do like what we didn't even know when we first read Secret Wars, that it was Rhodey in the suit. You know, we're just wondering why Tony's saying some of this weird lingo.
Round ball, like, oh, Junior.
Yeah, round ball, and to find out that it's Rhodey, you sort of like do like a. Oh yeah, all right, I get it. So you can do that, right? You can make Rhodey and put him in the suit and have it be like an inheritance, sure. But I really like, once those characters are gone, I would like to see another character sort of either like the Iron Man suit is then now like in the Avengers tower, locked away as like, say if Tony dies, have that be locked away, like in a behind glass, kind of like what Batman did with like the outfits,
in, you know, as homage to your fallen compadres.
Right, you know, this is Tony, you know, and then we will remember him and his sacrifice. Meanwhile, with Bucky, I would have him take his spot, but I'd have him keep the shield. Yeah, use the shield. That's fine. But I wouldn't necessarily call him Captain America at all. I would just have him take that spot in the group. So it's not recasting, and it's not necessarily someone taking up the mantle. It's just someone taking their spot. And essentially, it's giving someone passing the torch. So it's sort of like where you have your your possibility three or your third possibility that you said, but with it, but it's an established character taking their spot, not a brand new character coming in like Reed Richards. No, Reed Richards is going to be Reed Richards. He's not going to take Captain's spot on the Avengers. He's going to be Reed Richards.
Well, that's fine. But really, I guess me saying that the Fantastic Four coming or possibly coming would be good for replacing these characters, but that, maybe that's not really what I meant, because if you're going to put somebody at the helm of the future on the other side of the Infinity War, you got to think Marvel has a plan. I mean, they got their plans all the way down to how they release their trailers, for Christ's sakes. They know what they're doing, you know? So you got to think, on the other side of an Infinity War, man, you're going to have like a 22 or 23-year-old, still very young, believably young Peter Parker in Tom Holland that could lead an Avengers team into the future, and it would be great. And it would be phenomenal storytelling. It'd be bigger storytelling for that character beyond just your typical Spider-Man rogues, which, granted, he has some of the best rogues, but you get what I'm saying.
Well, you could also have it, if he ever does lead the Avengers, and if Tony dies, you could act, then if we could essentially see the Iron Spider suit
in tribute.
There, in tribute of, and, you know, because I would like to see multiple suits be done, you know.
And that's something the Russo brothers said too. They said, look, if you're expecting Spider-Man to be in the Infinity Wars, which he most likely, I mean, of course he's going to be, don't expect the costume that you see right now. So we could get an Infinity Wars with Black Suit Spidey. We could get it with the Iron Spider, you know. Maybe you're right, and Tony dies, and he leaves a little, like, holographic message that says, upon my death, you know, Parker, this was a prototype I was building for you, you know, and it's the Iron Spider suit. I think that would be lovely storytelling. It'd be great to see that come to life on the screen. Who knows, maybe we'll get Miles Morales in the future. There's just, man, it seems like, and I know I keep harping on it, but Marvel, their plan, I love seeing it happen. I love seeing it come together. They go, hey, these are the things that are going to happen. Here are the movies we're going to release. You're going to love them. We know you're going to love them because we're writing them and we're doing them. And they're going to work this way and tell this exact story. And when this is all wrapped up and we're on the other side of Infinity Wars, we're going to have looked at something that took like 12 years to complete. That's crazy in the movie world for a story arc that's multiple films, multiple characters, multiple, you know, different villains to face and kinds of stories to tell, just outside of it being quote-unquote superhero. And we're going to look back and be like, man, we got to, like, firsthand witness the dawn of what is now known as, you know, like, the definitive superhero age of movies. I believe firmly that we aren't going to be on the you know, where people have the superhero fatigue, because it seems like this year is the most exciting year ever for movies, and 90% of the movies are what? Superhero movies. Or comic book related movies, regardless. So, speaking of comic book related movies, Brandon, do you have anything else on that before we continue on?
Not at all.
Okay. So, next week, dude, a week from, well, today, if you're listening, it might not be today, but to Brandon and I, per the recording, it's Friday the 18th. And a week from today, Brando, we get finally Batman versus Superman. Are you excited? I know the answer is yes. How excited?
Yeah, I'm pretty fucking excited.
I mean, I'm excited to see it finally come to life and see what all the hype has been about and see what all these different... I mean, there have been so many different ways people have looked at this movie, and they've looked at it through, man, it could be really great, or man, it's going to be really terrible, or man, they bogged it down, or no, it's going to be really cool and they know what they're doing. You know, there's all these different channels of how people have looked at this movie, and we're finally going to figure out what the fuck this movie is.
I don't think it's going to be the best movie that you've ever seen, either.
I don't want it to be the best movie. I want it to be a great story. If the story's good, they got me. I think that's the deep down, the writer in me, that just, if your story's fucking powerful and you can tell me a story that I believe and I love and I can get behind, like, it might not be the greatest, most well-directed thing ever, you know? It might not be the highest grossing film ever or whatever. If you tell me a believable good story that I can genuinely get behind, that's all I want. That's all I'm asking, DC. If they deliver there, you're going to hear me go, man, why was I even worried? But if they don't deliver, is the worry, you know?
Well, okay. I mean, well, you got to think about that. Okay, so you said DC. DC's not in charge of this. It is Warner Brothers.
Well, that's true, too.
Now, did you see, in relation, before we move on here, Did you see that that Zack Snyder revealed the runtime for the director's cut?
Yeah, it's 3 hours long and rated R.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, pretty much what he said is that it's not a hard R, it's mostly just violence. It kind of sounds like he submitted his original cut, and they came back with an R. So when they were going back to take out some of the stuff that kind of earned it a little bit of a harsher rating, they decided to cut the time down. Now, I'm hoping... Now, see, me, personally, I love long-winded movies, especially when it ties stuff together. Like, that's why I love the director's cut of The Watchmen.
Yeah.
Man, because to me, that makes it more whole as telling The Watchmen story, as close as you can get for a film. And I'm hoping that this works out as well. We're getting an amalgamation of different DC stories here in one movie, and I'm okay with that because... I mean, that's what a lot of these movies do anyway. They take our favorite parts of some stories, mash them up, mix them up, tell them, you know, they tell us, hey, here's what we came up with. And sometimes they're great, and sometimes they're, you know, they're sort of like not so great. But I'm just so excited to see this movie because we live in a world now where, you know, we're going to be getting awesome free, like it's almost like we live in a universe, you know, it's like, our ancestors, really. That's a bit of a harsh word for that, but say like our parents grew up in an era where there was Marvel and DC and all these big, stories with these heroes that at the time was fresh and new. And now we live in an era where it's acceptable to see these stories translated into film, where a whole new audience is now getting these awesome comic book movies, whether they're DC, Marvel, or anything else. And as you said, comic book inspired movies are definitely dominating and still coming out. So I just think it's freaking awesome that now, you know, we've been in the Marvelverse now for nearly 10 years. And it's cool now to see the other side, the other big comic book team come up and go, you know what, we're going to, you know, translate some of these and put these out there. And more is only better for me. I mean, granted, you're going to have stuff like Fantastic Four slipped through the cracks, but I'm hoping that, you know, that's just some people at Fox not knowing what they're doing, because it really does seem like besides I suddenly went brain farted Bryan Singer knowing what kind of X-Men movies that he wants to do, nobody over there really knows what they're doing. They're sort of like swinging in the dark. Because even though Deadpool knocked it out of the park, they were afraid of that movie.
And
they didn't,
and they had nothing to do with it. They just said, "Okay, fine, we'll fucking let you make the movie." You've
bitched about it enough, right? And so, yeah. So now they're happy about it, and they sort of breathe a sigh of relief. But it sort of seems like Fox, besides Bryan Singer's X-Men stuff, they're sort of walking in the dark, holding their hands out, not really knowing exactly what they want to do with stuff. And with that regard, you know, I really hope that Warner Brothers, since they've been making comic book movies for so long, whether that be, a big Hollywood budget or even animated films, I'm hoping they have enough of a team and awareness to, you know, actually make some good movies out of this. Because even more so, possibly going down the road, depending on, you know, on how she does. I'm really looking forward to see Wonder Woman finally come on the big screen.
Me too. I can't wait to see how that plays out.
Oh yeah, and I'm excited for her solo film as well, and to see how that progresses. And I do believe hers is actually going to be an origin story.
I think so. Yeah. Well, partially. I think part of it is I almost feel like if you're telling a Wonder Woman story arc, that you have to do a mixture of the flashback, kind of how Deadpool did, where you
right.
a little bit flashback, a little bit modern, you know, because they have to bring it to today. They have to bring it to modern times, but she's an Amazonian princess. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, maybe it's an origin story. Maybe it's not. We have to see the first official trailer and get a synopsis to kind of figure out what route they're going to go. My question for you is this, Brando. Give me a number, just U.S. I just want the domestic. How much money do you feel Batman versus Superman can do opening weekend? So that's the Thursday night preview, your regular Friday, your regular Saturday, and your regular ass Sunday.
Well, it's a holiday weekend.
What holiday?
Well, Good Friday is next week.
Oh, shit.
So, I mean, it's in a good spot because people are going to be available to go see it. Now, I'm going to say that I don't think this movie is going to do Star Wars numbers. Not by a long shot.
No.
I mean, I think it's going to do very well. And seeing as how this is just the second movie in this, this is a big event of a movie. And as you know, with big event movies, you do have a lot of characters come in. And of course, they've already put it out there about what characters are going to be showing up. This is an event movie. You know, if I had to guess and I had to wager, I might be going a little bit conservative with this, but I think 160.
Wow.
160 million, I think.
Domestic 160. That's an impressive number. That's larger than the last Avengers did. I think that would be that'd be a larger opening weekend than, well, obviously the Spider-Man, bigger than Guardians. I mean, that's a huge opening weekend in the middle of March, I guess towards the end of March. I was actually going to more kind of say like 98 million. I don't know that it'll break 100 million on the shore. Maybe with people being generally curious, I'm going to be wrong about that. Like people just going, well, it is Batman versus Superman. They put shit tons of money into the marketing. I can't believe this though, Brando. No matter what we say, and yours was conservatively 160, and I'll just throw out 98 as mine, and I'll just leave it there. Even I'm probably going to get torched, and that's going to be way short. With all that being said, like they said, if they don't make $1 billion, this movie was not a success.
Who said that?
Warner Brothers. The way that they're marketing and the overall budget for the film and all these things considered, if they don't gross $1 billion for this movie's theater life, it will not be considered successful.
Well, that is really dumb on their part. That is really dumb to actually come out and have that sort of closed-mindedness with it because, I mean, do I think that overall will this movie earn $1 billion? Probably. I mean, over the course of time, over all the different countries in this freaking flat earth that we have.
We're getting there.
Yeah, we're getting there. I think it will reach $1 billion over time. Yeah, sure. And you know, and maybe my estimate is a bit large. I was taking into consideration that it's a holiday weekend and people have that weekend off, so they might take their families to go see this movie, or you know. So I'm thinking it might be. It's definitely. I think it's going to break 100. But as far as being $1 billion and it's not a success, I mean, the budget's only $200. So, or $200, $200 million.
I was going to say, that's a cheap fucking budget.
Dude, I want to see Batman v Superman made for $200. I want to see that movie.
That'd be like Italian Spider-Man. I don't know if you've seen that, but that's fucking hilarious. Just fly.
No, but I think it is rather, you know, well, because to be so close-minded, that's like Square Enix, and I'm going to shift this to games for just a second. The first Tomb Raider, the reboot Tomb Raider, right? It came out, and I'm actually going to look this up right on the fly. I'm not going to take too much time. Tomb Raider.
Spoonerismed to Room Tater, for those of you who are curious.
Wow.
For any of those of you who don't know, spoonerism is where you take the first letter of a word and the first letter of another word, and you flip the letters. So like, or it's phonetic too. So if like there's a PH, for example, my name, instead of Nate Phillips, I'd be Fate Nillips. Cause my last name is a pho, phonetically sounding pho. So you'd be Standin' Brown, you know, Standin' Brown, which I like, but so yeah, Tomb Raider, Room Tater. Anyways, continue.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So Room Tater, back in 2014, okay, the reboot of Tomb Raider nearing 6 million in sales.
Damn.
Now, they consider that a failure.
Wow.
And we were not going to get Rise of the Tomb Raider because that was a failure. But instead, Microsoft came in and said, we'll help foot the bill. So that's how we got Rise of the Tomb Raider. And that's why it's exclusive to Xbox.
For the time being.
Yeah, for the first year. So Now, granted, that number's probably grown because they released a definitive edition on PS4, Xbox One. So what? I'm just going to throw this out there. Maybe 8 million, maybe 9 million in sales as when it's all said and done. Now, if these dumbasses think that 6 million in sales is bad, now, you're comparing it to something like Battlefront, which has 15. Tomb Raider is not Battlefront, okay? Tomb Raider is not a first-person shooter. It's not going to perform that well because the first-person shooters are very what's the word I'm looking for here? They can be very casual,
yeah,
and they can appeal to that crowd. Tomb Raider is not that, you know. It's an action game. So to say that Batman v Superman, if it doesn't make or break a billion, that it's a total failure, I think is a dumb statement. And whoever said that needs to be ousted from Warner Brothers and just kicked out, because the fact of to just label that movie as a complete failure for not making a billion, I think is idiotic to me, because you're already planning on and shooting Justice League, you're filming Wonder Woman, you're starting this whole thing, and for the suits to go, this was a failure because it didn't reach $1 billion. It's like, all right, Dr. Evil, let's shut the fuck up. Like, the movie did great. The movie did fine. You know?
Yeah, it's that whole monetary expectation thing, modern society thinking that money is the most important thing. Ultimately, if the movie's good and it tells a great story and it connects with audiences, that's going to ultimately be what's more important, just because not everybody and their mom saw Batman vs. Superman. It's not for everybody. It might be too violent for some people.
Yeah, and it might be, and I've definitely heard that this movie is pretty dark and violent, and that's fine, because to that extent, I don't expect the Warner Brother movies on the DC side here to be as open and family friendly as the Marvel side, and that's perfect for me, because that's what I want. I don't want to see the DC version of what Marvel's doing. I want to see a different freaking experience. So I'm okay with it, and that just because in the theater it doesn't break a billion, I mean, what's the rentals like going to be at Redbox? What's it going to be rented through digital media? What's the sales going to be like once it comes out on digital or physical media?
Well, I tell you, I'm going to be buying the director's cut Blu-ray, so they're making money off of me at least two times.
Right.
You know, but I'm excited because, you know, you also might get to see Ezra Miller as the Flash in Batman vs. Superman just for a quick second, whether it's a dream sequence or whatever. But
as if for a quick second, he just guy, bye.
Yeah, exactly. You never know. He is the Flash. But that brings me to what I really like, and that's the TV Flash on CW. Kick-ass. Next week, we're actually, let's see, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. We're only 4 days away from the return of Flash Tuesday. That's a Tuesday ritual that we have where we watch the Flash. Anyways, Kevin Smith just directed episode 21, Brando. I don't know if you listened to the most recent Fat Man on Batman, but he recounted his experience being the director of The Flash and had nothing but great things to say with the cast. Did you hear that episode? It was with the Amazing Spider-Man talk.
Yeah, but yes, in fact, I just got done with it today.
Yeah, so in that, he was just talking about how, you know, the cast of The Flash genuinely love that character. They genuinely adore that they're on that show. They like each other. There's real chemistry between the cast. So he said it was just a, you know, really eye-opening experience, and that TV was something he wishes he would have done a long-ass time ago, you know, maybe even before he tried to do Clerks, because he said that TV is, you know, writer's heaven, where, you know, you write stuff and they say, cool, let's do it. But on the other side of that, you know, he finishes, you know, directing episode 21. He put a big thank you to the cast and some pictures, you know, with him and Grant and some of the other cast members. And Grant Gustin actually came back and was like, look, we need to lock you in to do at least three episodes. Direct three episodes next year, please. Like, we really want you back. So maybe Kevin Smith comes back. I think it's funny, though, because he didn't watch The Flash. He didn't know jack shit about the show. He got told that King Shark was in season two, so he sped through and watched the entirety of season one, and now he's obsessed with it. Now, by the end of season two, he's directing, like, the third to last episode of the season. You know, it must be great to be Kevin Smith, but I'm excited because he's an amazing director. He's a funny guy. I love The Flash, so it's like two of my kind of favorite things, you know, coming together to become one. And speaking of things I like coming together, Brandon, I don't know if you saw this. Probably not. Maybe you did. Hell, I don't know. I don't know what you decide to click on. But they did release like the first couple teaser things for Flash with Supergirl. And again, I was like, fuck yes. So excited. Like, we're getting close to, man. Supergirl just got like, they just keep making it just a little bit more awesome. This week's episode was really intense, and next week's episode is going to be really intense, and then Grant's going to come on as the Flash, and that means that this week at the end of the Flash, there's got to be some kind of thing that happens to Grant to cause him to end up, or Barry, that causes Barry to end up in Supergirl's world. We're not sure how that's going to happen. We're not sure how he's going to get back. We're not sure how they're going to open up portals to make those two get together again in the future. So, I'm just excited to see where we get, where we go from here with Berlandi and Kreisberg and the CW/CBS verse that they've created. It's huge, and they're doing so many crazy things. They're just taking nothing, but they're not taking no for an answer. They say we want to do this by episode 22, and the executives go, well, you guys haven't fucked up yet, so sure, yes, of course we can do that. And then they just sign off on all this stuff, and it's great. It's high budget movie quality on TV and telling a really great arcing story that I know 23 seasons it's long, but if you haven't watched The Flash or Arrow or Legends of Tomorrow or Supergirl, I know that sounds like a daunting task, but everyone should do it. It's totally worth it, especially if you love comics.
Well, did you say 23 seasons is long?
23 episodes, sorry.
I'll say 23 seasons is long, dude. I don't care how good it is. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to stick around for that because, I mean, Jesus. No show should last 23 seasons. I mean, come on, SVU is still on the freaking air. Get rid of that show.
Not true. No. In some regards, you're wrong. There are a couple shows that I would say get to have that longevity. The Simpsons, South Park, you've got Saturday Night Live is on for like 42 seasons now. That's crazy to think of. But so yeah, Flash, Supergirl, all that shit is awesome. If you haven't checked it out, go check it out. Brandon, on the other side of TV that we love and watch, how about this past episode of The Walking Dead?
You know what? It was a good character piece. Referring to pretty much the whole episode was on like a single sort of set. It kind of focused more on Carol and Maggie of being taken by some members of the Saviors.
And you knew the whole time, right, Brandon? I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I don't know. I don't want to speak for you, but the whole episode I'm going, what the fuck is Carol up to? Like, what's her play in all this? How's she fucking with them? Because you could tell she doesn't go from stone cold killer and how Carol has been to this like super altruistic, like, oh, I'm just this God-fearing woman. She played literally Carol was acting like season one Carol for the Saviors, and I loved it.
Well, see, and I think there's actually some truth coming in with that because the message that I'm getting from Carol at this point in the show is that she's really battling keeping her humanity.
Yeah,
because she's convinced herself and she's made herself strong as a person who in season one was a battered, you know, woman and wife and mother who was beaten and then lost her child in season two. In season three, she was barely hanging on. In season four, we see a much different person who's emerged from the ashes. She got kicked out for killing people and for doing so without telling anybody, without asking anybody, without bringing anything towards like to the table. She made her mind up and said, I'm going to do what I think is best. And over time, she's been this sort of stone cold, I'm going to do what needs to get done sort of thing. And I am thinking, and it was a hint dropped a couple episodes ago when she left a cookie. I believe she left a cookie at Sam's grave. I think his death is messing with her. I think that, well, of course, she put the fear into him, right? She pretty intimidated him. And
we had talked about this coming back from the mid-season finale, that, yeah, mm-hmm. she had kind of essentially caused this trauma on this young boy that ultimately cost him his life.
Right.
You know, but, I don't know, Carol, you're right, Carol's struggling. She had the whole, like, she'd written that she'd probably killed 18 people as far as she could remember, and then jumped to 20. But I tell you what, man, you want to talk about it's funny. Sitting and Sarah and I are, you know, and Sarah and I and Veronica are watching this, and we're watching, and they're like, wow, these two are stone fucking cold, you know, because how Carol and Maggie finish up and take out some more of the Saviors, right? And in the moment that they were talking about how brutal Maggie and Carol were, and I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, dude, can you imagine they're doing this with Carol and Maggie? They made them burn people alive in the kill room, which was a fucking awesome scene, you know? They're doing all this shit, you know, and the ginger-headed chick and how they killed her and all that shit. They made that shit so brutal that it makes me go, how the fuck is Negan gonna do so much worse? Because he's gonna, you know what I'm saying? They always step it up, and they're prepping people for this crazy that's coming.
Yeah,
I mean, they really are, dude. They're getting your psyche ready to see some shit you probably didn't want to ever see.
Yeah. Now, what I really liked at the very end of the episode when Rick and crew sort of come in and right at the very end, they came in to save them, but they didn't really need saving. I loved how for the first time in a few seasons you saw Carol unguarded.
Yes.
With Daryl, because of course there's been that closeness between the two of them for quite a few seasons, and of course there was that whole fan shipping with between the two wanting those two to get together, and I think Carol can only let herself be unguarded with a few people, and one of those is Daryl.
Did they call that Care Daryl, by the way?
Care Daryl? I don't know what they called it.
Dare Carol?
Dare to Carol.
Well, because you got like Alicity and shit. That's why I asked. Because, usually mash the names together to make one name, but their names sound phonetically exactly the same. So you really can't, like, we're just going to call him Daryl. Wait, no, that doesn't sound right. We're just going to call him Carol. Shit, that's the same. Fuck, like, what do we do? So Care Daryl, Dare Carol? I don't know. Anyways. She was definitely very, like, a raw nerve, man. She's finally breaking.
Well, see, and I loved, he asked, are you okay? And she goes, no, I'm not. Because she says, I can't do this anymore. And I like that because she has allowed herself to become this dark, kind of cold-hearted killer, tough person, because she feels like that's a person that she needs to be in this world. And she felt like, you know, she's killed all these people, and then she wrote them down, because I think somewhere in her head she's got to keep telling herself, it can't just be nothing that I killed these people. I can't let that, like with the redheaded girl in this, where she said she stopped counting or caring after she got to double digits. I those two interacting, it definitely wrote it out and spoke it out to you, the person who Carol doesn't want to become.
Exactly. Now I'm going to ask you a little side question within this Walking Dead conversation. Do you feel it's interesting how they've got the Saviors trained to die for Negan? I am Negan. We are all Negan. Like that kind of like we are Groot.
Yeah. You know?
Like, oh, yeah. They are Negan. We are Negan, you know.
Yeah, there's a guy at work that he hasn't read the comics, and he's a big fan of the show. But he's aware of Negan, so then he came in and he goes, what was up with that? And I'm like, I don't recall that at all from the comics. And he goes, really? Because he goes, it got me wondering if they're really going to do a Negan. I'm like, oh, he's already been cast. Don't worry.
Oh yeah,
like,
Negan's coming.
He's coming. I'm like, don't worry about that. But I did like how the group mentality. I mean, how they just kind of do that, and I liked how, Carol has heard that already, and Rick, without question, just like, boom, goodbye.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like he took that as fact, right? The guy's like, I'm Negan. And then he goes, sorry, had to come to this. Bam. And then it was like, I wonder if Carol ever got around to go, Rick, they all kind of say that.
Yeah. I'm sure that's what's going to be on the other side of this this episode coming up Sunday. We're like, what, two away?
I think we're three because we have this one, the 26th, and then you'll be here for my house for the season finale.
Yep. Okay. So three left. Three left. We're inching ever closer. And I love how everybody who's involved with The Walking Dead's like, you might see Negan this episode. And they're playing on the fact that everyone's calling themselves fucking Negan. Like, it's brilliant. he's got the saviors brainwashed. He is they're slowly building this character that people don't even realize, because when it finally gets revealed who Negan actually is and how powerful he is, and into next season and you know season seven when he's you know full on badass, people are gonna be like, oh shit, he's a master manipulator with nothing but just his cunning and his wit right there to just trick people into doing whatever he says. And also using brute force and violence, which we'll come to know and see in this show, I hope. I hope we get to see some of the shaming rituals, if you will. One that happens to our good friend Dwight at some point. So yeah, it's totally just this season of The Walking Dead is finally like, holy fuck, we're there, you know? And I'm so excited for this show and where we're going. You know, it's really Brando to me, The Walking Dead. I don't know if you have any additional points on this episode other than like a couple things I point out. No real Eugene in this episode. They're, you know, like you said, it was mostly a character piece, kind of like we've seen in the past where they isolate a couple members from the group. They have their own within the major plot. They have like little minor things, and I loved, you know, Carol takes a beating to keep Maggie safe, and Maggie's just chill through the whole fucking thing, and then she's not, and they're like, oh, now we know what kind of people you are, you know.
Well, see, I liked how they actually separated them though to do the character piece. A lot of times in the past seasons they've just been traveling, or they've been like, all right, now we're gonna go over here now, all right, now we're gonna go over here now. This way it was still continuing from the story that had been set up. They've been doing a continuous story while still taking breaks to tell stories from characters that don't always get a lot of screen time.
Exactly. So, you know, there's no conspiracy here, Brando. Negan is on his way, we can say safely. However, and this is to tie the intro of our show back to now, as I said before, I like Sword Alive. It's a great podcast. You and Rob do awesome work over there. I'm just absolutely enamored with how you guys do the trying of new things and talking about your experience of those new things. Most 99% of the time, it's food related. It's not like you're, gonna go try like cocaine or some crazy shit. But anyways, which actually, if you guys want, I would mention there is something you should try on your podcast. There is an energy drink. You can buy it for $24. It is called cocaine. And yes, I've had it and it's delicious. But maybe that'd be something for you guys to try.
Is it worth $24?
It's a case. So you're getting quite a few. You're not just getting one. You're getting like, I want to say a case is like 12. If my math were to be correct. And they're like 12-ounce cans. So they're pretty big.
I was going to say $24 for one can. This better be one hell of a freaking
experience.
Yeah, dude, you better like drink that and come up from the table looking like Tony Montana.
Or run like the Flash, you know, just like, meow! Oh shit, he ran really fast. We shouldn't have gave him that cocaine. Anyways, Brando, this past episode you guys did, you were talking about conspiracy theories. Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay. And you guys, it's so funny to sit back and listen to the show with guys that I talk to anyways, riff on it, because I'm sitting there going, there's things I want to say. Motherfuck, there's like all the 9/11 stuff, dude. Like, you know, I thoroughly researched the idea that 9/11 is a conspiracy, and I do believe that it is very possible through a lot of facts and things that I've researched and seen loose change 9/11 and all kinds of different documentaries about the event, that I firmly believe there's a extreme possibility that our government did 9/11, and it was a plot device essentially to cause us to band together and then go fight people that we didn't really even need to go to war with, causing problems later down the road. But that's beside the point. I don't care. Conspiracy theories. Got me thinking. I wonder if there are any conspiracy theories about comics, Brando. So here today, I have two conspiracy theories. One is a real theory, and one is total bullshit. Okay?
All right.
I'm going to tell them to you both. Okay? You are then going to tell me which one's, legit and which one's bullshit. So, number one. The conspiracy theory number one is there are conspiracy theorists that believe that the Ninja Turtles were created as a tribute to reptile people. There is a comic book conspiracy theory that states that the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles comic book was created as a tribute to reptile people. And then here's the other one. I'm going to let you sit on that one for a second. But here's the other one. Conspiracy theory. There are two cops that appear in every Marvel and DC comic book that look the exact same. For some reason, they look the exact same in Marvel and DC. If you see two cops in any panels, they will be the exact same two characters. Brandon, I gotta know. What do you think, man?
Wow. I mean, you have one that's really out there with the lizard people. I can definitely, I mean, even if that one turns out to be false, I can definitely see someone believing that. But to think that the same two cops all the freaking time, I mean, you have to think about the artists and style. To think that, I mean, and I'm sure a lot of artists have, you know, some artists have gone to work for, you know, from one company or the other. But, you know, I'm just going to say that the first one's false and the second one's true.
And you're absolutely correct. Very well done, your deductive skills of reasoning. I made the Turtles one up on the fly. Okay, legitimately. I was just like, okay, let's just go with it. However, the two cop theory isn't officially confirmed, but shockingly enough, a huge member of the writing community within Marvel and DC himself is the one that shed light on this. This is not because of fans thinking it. This goes all the way to a motherfucking person that does this shit for a living. Scott Snyder, he wrote Batman, the new 52 run of Batman. He's going to go back to Detective Comics soon. He's done all kinds of great work. He's done, like, I want to say American Vampire and American Vampire, something like that. Anyways, he actually on his Twitter blew up a feed and posted like 20 different photo posts. And it is, dude, they're the same two dudes. One dude's got like a beard and glasses. The other dude's kind of like a pudgy dude. Like, and they're Marvel, DC, doesn't matter. Batman, Spider-Man, doesn't matter. If you see two cops, they're going to look like these dudes. So I don't know what that conspiracy is about. Who are these people? Why do they get to be the forever cops? You know?
Well, I mean, I guess, is this speaking to conspiracy or is it speaking to, you know, police stereotypes?
Okay. I guess that's another way to look at it too. Is it a conspiracy or do people just draw those two? Or what if it's like some sort of weird age old tradition that if you're a comic book artist and sometime before episode 100, my hope is to actually bring somebody who is a comic book artist onto our podcast and discuss with them things and including this theory here. But do you think it's like some sort of time honored tradition where it's like, hey man, you're a comic book artist. Here's the first rule. If you ever draw cops, here's the prototype, and they have pictures, and you draw these two dudes. And who knows what their importance are? Maybe they're like two crazy cops from like the 1300s or some shit. You don't know. You don't know. But it's like some sort of law that they say, hey, look, you have to draw your fucking cops to look like these motherfuckers. Like, I don't. It's weird. I just thought, I'm literally in the shower, and I get out of the shower and I put your guys' podcast on and I'm listening to the podcast. I get ready for my day and you guys are talking about conspiracies. And then I went, man, it'd be cool if there were comic book conspiracies. I doubt that'll actually be a thing. So on the today's rundown, I put SL game ? Sort of live game ? And then I started looking and there are quite a few other conspiracy theories. So what I think, Brando, is I think we should maybe try to turn this into a segment where we research real conspiracy theories in the comic book world and make up a conspiracy theory that's not in the comic book world and test some people that we have on our show, whether it's Rob or Wes or whoever the fuck ever. A new game could be formed, and then maybe even still we could take it one step further and see who could come up with the best conspiracy theory that doesn't exist. Those are my thoughts. So that's the little mini game I wanted to play with you, Brando. If there's anything you want to say about this, you may now do so. I don't know if there's anything you've got. I guess not. So we're gonna move. forward. I'm gonna leave that awesome long awkward silence because I was like reaching for you, but you weren't making a noise. It was great.
I did my best pregnant pause.
I love it. So we're gonna move forward to some of our last topics here. I tried something last night because of you, Brando. You told me you got PlayStation View, and I'm like, what the fuck is PlayStation View? So I went and did some research after you told me some of the stuff, and I was like, oh, that's weird. I didn't tell you this on Messenger last night, but I wanted to bring it up on the show. The night before you got View, I went and downloaded Sling TV on my Roku. Same kind of thing. $20 a month, live TV, blah, 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 all these different channels, a lot of the same channels as View. So I have Sling and I have View, and I have one consistent complaint that makes me absolutely 100% without question decide that I'm not getting either of these services: commercials. I don't want commercials. That's why I like having Hulu Plus with the additional $4 whatever bullshit, because I don't like commercials. I don't want to be bothered with fucking commercials. The Brits, when they put on Doctor Who, there are no fucking commercials. In America, when we put on Doctor Who, they fucking chock it full of commercials. I don't want commercials. I like seeing the story front to back without. But I think it's an interesting service, Brando. What are your thoughts on View? Are you keeping it? Uh-oh, did we lose Brando? Looks like we lost Brando. So, we're in real time, folks. This is just the shit that happens consistently. I wonder if he has lost signal or something. Let's see. Let's voice call Brando. Make the booty dooty noise, folks. This is 2 weeks in a row we've had fucking issues with the Skype, so I'm not entirely certain of what's happened, but Brandon is not picking up. So that's a thing that just happened. Let's see if he's messaged me and said something. Looks like he hasn't. Anyways, folks, maybe he was mad because he likes View. I don't know. Maybe he liked View and was upset that I was trashing it for its commercials. We'll have to wait for Brando to get back. Yeah, he's nowhere to be found right now, folks. So maybe something happened on his end. We'll wait for a few minutes on him. I know he's got some gaming news that he wanted to get to. I know he's got possibly an announcement. And look who's calling us on the motherfucking podcast. It's the host with the most, Brando! Hey, Brando, you just got the most superhero fucking return intro ever, because the Skype music was playing and we're live for our audience. So I just was like, Brando, I don't know. It's cool. So you had just the dopest intro coming back from your absence. I don't know what the fuck happened, bro.
It said that we lost connection for the call. So,
well, I don't know what you heard, but all I was saying is Sling.
I'll tell you the last thing I heard. I heard that you said you had one nagging issue, and then it paused, and I'm just like,
well, what is it? Come on, we're waiting.
Yeah.
Okay, so my nagging issue, Brando, is this, and our listeners have already heard this, but just one more time to reiterate to make sure you can hear it. On both Sling and View, I don't like their commercials. I have Hulu Plus illicitly with the $11 plan, so I don't have to deal with commercials. In Britain, you don't have to deal with commercials when you're watching a show. You watch Doctor Who front to back. You get to see the whole story, then they do commercials afterwards. 45 minutes a show, 15 minutes of commercials afterwards. I think that's really smart. U.S. should adopt that idea. They're not going to. Ronald Reagan, the end. Anyways, what are your thoughts on View? I like the system. I think it navigates better than Sling, but I, again, still don't think I'm going to keep this service. What are your thoughts?
I think it's just it's television. I mean, it's just like having cable.
But you right now do have cable. See, I don't even have cable.
Right. It basically on Fox, ABC, and NBC, all that stuff is on demand because you don't have local channels on it. So all your primetime stuff is on demand. But then all the other channels like AMC, USA, and that stuff, and Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, that stuff is streamed like a live channel. And it's only like 30 seconds behind cable. So while you do have commercials, if you watch normal cable anyway, you'll be used to that anyways. And it also has unlimited DVR space on the cloud.
Oh, wow.
So you could DVR it and then fast forward through the commercials. And then There was another. Oh, it also you can use it on whether a PlayStation, a PS3, PS4, or other devices like Amazon Fire TV, Apple devices, and stuff like that. I don't have a complete list, but it does seem like we are going to be dropping our cable and getting PSView for 55 channels. It's about $30. The next tier up, I don't remember how many channels it is. If it's 75 channels, but that's 35, and then for 45, it's over 100.
Yeah, so PS View, like I said, I didn't mind it. We still have it. I did already cancel my auto renewal subscription because here was my thought. I've got 7-day free trial, right, Brando?
Yeah.
So what am I going to do with 7-day free trial? I went with the fucking most expensive ass option I could so I could check it out in all of its glory. And I still was just, I think it's different for you and I because with you, you already have cable. This is a service you can switch to. That's going to benefit you guys, going to save you a little bit of money. It's nicer. Me, this is a service I already don't have, so it's going to cost me more money, and I actually probably don't need it. You know what I'm saying?
Well, see, yeah, she wanted to ditch cable and get Hulu, and then for like $17, $18 more, we can just skip the Hulu.
And go right to having it live.
The only channel we don't have that I wish we did was History. But at the same token, it's like I don't watch a lot of History because they got rid of History 2, which is where the actual History shows were, and History 1 is all of the reality bullcrap they have on there, so I don't really watch that anymore. Anyway, the only thing that I needed to be able to do is watch like Walking Dead and like some wrestling if I ever feel the itch. So that's there.
Okay, so what about GOT then?
Then for GOT, I'll just get HBO Now for the run of Game of Thrones, and then I'll cancel.
Sweet, good call.
But the PS View, getting the 55 channel selection, that's gonna save us about $60 a month. So
damn. So see, that's a great deal for you. Why wouldn't you switch to PlayStation View? See, in that situation, totally agree. That's a smart play. For us, I don't think it's a smart play. So I like that we have two different viewpoints for people to see.
Viewpoints.
I see what I did there. I'm glad you caught that. I was like, fuck, if he doesn't catch this. Okay, anyways. So, Brando, do you have any gaming news aside from the fact that you've been using PlayStation View? Are you hanging up the boots? What's going on with you in games?
Well, I sort of told you before we went on the air that I sort of have a 12-step plan to sort of like stop collecting for the time being. And that doesn't mean I won't ever buy anything. It just means that I'm going to try and not go out and hunt and do that kind of stuff. I'm very happy with where my collection is. And so maybe I'll ramp up again in the future. And I've said this multiple times. I need to stop. I need to like slow down because I just ramped up and I went so fast. And it's just, I go out and I find such good deals. And yeah, if I slow down and stop, I'm potentially will be like missing out on good deals, but at the same time, I need to take care of business at home as well, and I feel like that's more important. And so I have whittled it down to a list of games I want to get before I'm gonna just start playing what I have essentially.
Well, and that's kind of a good thing in this quest of being a game collector is you can take long pauses and yeah, prices might fluctuate up and prices could fluctuate down. You never know, but you'll have time to play some of the shit you actually collected.
Well, see, and I'm still trying to play Rise of the Tomb Raider. I'm still trying to work my way through that freaking game. Like I got to play this week. Yay. But before that, it had been 2 weeks since I played any game.
Damn.
Yeah, life. But actual news, I do have a few. The PSVR has been announced for a release window in October and a price set at $399.
Virtual reality, huh?
Yeah.
Like Oculus Rift.
Yes, but it's going to be a little bit more user-friendly. So it's going to be like maybe a step down from Oculus. I saw the specs and it's not too underneath, but it's definitely more like consumer friendly because the Oculus, I want to say, is $600 and then the HTC Vive is $800. But see, with the Oculus Rift and the Vive, you have to have a killer freaking rig of a PC. Like I saw, like in order for you to be able to buy the VR and buy all the upgrades you need to run it, for the Oculus, it's going to cost you about $1,500. For the Vive, it's going to cost you about $1,700. And the PSVR works right off your PlayStation, But you are going to need a camera, the PS camera, and probably a Move controller. And those don't come with it. However, they are going to be doing pre-orders on bundles. For $500, you get the camera and two Move controllers, a demo disc, and a copy of the PlayStation VR World's mini game collection. So that's not too bad.
Well, no, considering, I mean, when PS4 launched, if correct me if I'm wrong, the camera was $100 by itself.
The camera was $60, I do believe.
Really? Okay, yeah. Okay, so a little bit off there, but still close to 100. I mean, that's most of it. And then I remember initially you could only get PlayStation Move with the whole old school rig, the old school PlayStation I for PS3. Mm-hmm. That was another like $60 thing. So that's like, you know, a pretty decent value. You're getting two Move controllers and a demo, you know, a bunch of little things. It seems like a good deal. I don't think I'd ever use it. I feel like I'd get really crazy motion sick or like have a panic attack or something if I had shit around my face when I was gaming.
Well, just imagine playing like something like PT with that on.
Oh, Jesus. I'd pee all over myself.
Yeah.
I'd be leaky faucet.
Well, okay. I'm not too like keen on this, I guess. I'm not like closing myself off to it because, you know, you could try it out and you can have a religious experience and be like, I have to go get this now. But I'm also not like running out to buy it either. I hope it does well because it's a cool concept, and I'm not saying I wouldn't try it, but I'm not going to go spend $400 on it at all. I don't think, you know, who knows, but PSVR coming out this fall, the other two, Oculus and the Vive, come out soon, very soon. I think it's like in like a month's time, if not less.
Damn.
But PSVR will be coming out this fall, and they've said they hope to have 50 games released that either just for the VR or that utilize VR by the end of the year.
Whoa.
Xbox One news. Xbox One is dropping to $300 for the spring sale.
Wow. Getting closer to me owning one.
Which one was it? I saw on Major Nelson's blog. This includes the Division bundle, the Pick One bundle, which I think you can pick a copy of Forza 6, Rise of the Tomb Raider, Gears of War Remastered, or Rare Replay. And then it also includes the new Special Edition Quantum Break bundle.
Nice.
Which is a new store coming out by the guys that made, was it Alan Wake and Max Payne?
Yeah.
So, yeah. There's the like Quantum Break.
Remedy Studios or something
Remedy.
Like that?
Remedy. Yeah, Remedy. And in Quantum Break, the guy that plays Iceman.
I know who you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Drake's Iceman from the original X-Men trilogy. I can see his face.
And he's also in Days of Future Past as well.
Yeah. I can't think of his name, though.
He's the main character for Quantum Break.
It's Sean something.
Yeah, I'm not looking it up, but
don't.
It is a white. It is a white 500 gigabyte console, and
that's sexy.
And you get Quantum Break, and you get a digital copy of the 360 version of Alan Wake.
Cool.
And then so when that comes out, that's going to be $349, and then for the spring sale, it'll be $300 for that.
Whoop.
So, hey, you know, that's cool.
If anybody wants to give me a birthday present, April 19th, motherfuckers, I would love a PS or an Xbox One.
Yeah, one of those systems.
One of the ones I don't have. The one I don't have.
Yeah.
Shockingly, the last one for me to get. Last generation, it was the first one for me to get.
Right, yeah.
Why?
You know what? And I will say that the Xbox One is a decent console. It is a lot better than the one that they first revealed. And I originally said I would never own one, but, you know, I do, and I can actually form an opinion. I've been playing my Xbox One way more than the PS4 for the last...
Because of Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Well, it was because I bought Fallout 4 for it, and then I bought Rise of the Tomb Raider for it as well. So that's all I've been playing. I will go back to the PS4 to play Uncharted here in a month or two, so...
Okay, one real quick question. Do you, like, really hate the disc placement in the Xbox One cases?
It bugs me, yeah.
It bothers the fuck out of me, dude. It's on the wrong side. For those of you who don't know, every DVD that you ever purchased, every Blu-ray you've ever purchased, the main disc, 99.9 times out of 10, is on, when you open it up, it's going to be on your right-hand side. On the Xbox mm-hmm. One cases, they're on the left, where the instruction manual usually goes.
Yep.
The fuck?
Oh, I know. And you can't even flip it and have it look right on the shelf, because the Xbox One cases are molded to where it says Xbox One on the very top of the case.
Mm-hmm.
And so it looks weird if you flip it upside down. So, yeah, it does suck. But moving on to Sony news, they may be making an updated PS4.
Slimmer, obviously.
Well, this so-called PS4.5 could include a better graphics processor and support 4K resolution in games. And with a nickname of PS4K, and it could also power could boost the displaying of PSVR games. Essentially, they have discussed sort of like releasing a... This is almost kind of like what they did with the new 3DS, in a sense, when they released the 3DS and they had the new 3DS. It's not like a full next system, but it's kind of like in between.
Ah, okay.
Now, it's not sure how much the upgrade's going to cost or what they're going to do, or if they're going to do where you can like do like an add-on to the system to upgrade it if you want to. It's going to be weird, because if they do this, then you can have games that utilize the new system only, which can put you into a corner. And most companies are just going to be like, we're just going to make it compatible across the board.
Yeah.
However, Xbox division head Phil Spencer has also hinted that Microsoft may be looking towards annual hardware, you know, like yearly updated, like kind of like a PC version of like an Xbox for their future iterations. So to where like your home console becomes more like an upgradable box that you can, instead of buying a new piece of hardware every 6 years, you have the same piece of hardware and you slowly upgrade it over the time.
That would be cool.
I have mixed reservations on that, because they already tried that with Alienware and the Steam boxes.
Oh yeah.
And where you upgrade them. So, you know what? I have to go help the wife real quick. I have one more news bit.
Well, while you're doing the news bit, I guess I can throw down on my last topic.
Yeah, go ahead,
if you
man.
Want, and we'll just end with your last news bit, and we'll call it, and this will give me time to riff a little bit on comic news.
Yeah, go ahead. I need to go help her, because she just got home.
And you guys got a baby, so go take care of that baby. I'm going to keep this going, all right? So anyways, folks, while Brando is away from the comic book podcast world, I'm going to talk about a journey I took. Most of you know, recently I got into the Flash TV show last year when it came out, and I'm a big Flash fan now, and admittedly, I've never officially read any comics. I've done a lot of research, I've read like Flashpoint, and I've read some Flash stories here and there, but I've not like read a shit ton of the Flash. Until recently, I have all of the New 52 Flash, and I read all 48 issues, and let me tell you what, man, in the beginning, Brian Buccioletto and team, Francis Manapow also helping co-write and draw. That team was great, by the way. Francis Manapow and Brian Buccioletto drew and wrote that and colored it themselves. Two dudes did most of the work. Awesome, right? So those dudes, the first like 26 or 27 issues, or 30 issues probably, ultimately, we're telling a really cool story with Barry, and you know they introduced Grodd, and they introduced a new kind of Reverse Flash, which was Daniel West, which was Iris's little brother, and then the new team came on, and I can't think of who all is a part of that new team, except for one of my homies, Norm Ratmond, who is the inker for the Flash New 52. He did a ton of work for them and some of their best issues, in my opinion. But man, they told a really cool creative story. They brought Eobard Thawne back and told a really creative story with him. So we've now had two Reverse Flashes. We've had two Flashes in this universe. We've also had a Wally West Flash that quickly died. You've got a young Wally West. I mean, they've been telling a really good timey-wimey story with the Flash the way it should be, where things in the future are coming back to the past, things in the past are going to the future, things in the present are going to the past. All these things, it's a really, really, really genuinely, in my opinion, in my humble opinion, New 52 Flash is a great read. It doesn't necessarily stand up to, let's say, Snyder and Capullo's Batman, but if you like the Flash character, if you like that universe, you'll recognize most every person in place. It's interesting, because in the comics, Joe West isn't really even a part of it. Henry Allen is like kind of a he's a pawn in a really awesome story that they do with Who Killed Barry's Mother. Interestingly enough, it's kind of similar to the things they did on the show, but really different all at the same time, and I really love that. So I've been just totally jamming out and reading New 52 Flash. I'm catching up and trying to read all of Chew. If you guys know, Chew is a comic book put out by Image Comics. I've talked about it several times on the show. If you've not read Chew, it's really great. It's about a psibopath who is named Tony Chew. Psibopaths can psychically link to anything they eat, meaning that they can see anything that's happened to whatever they've eaten, including humans and fruits and all these other kinds of things. So being a detective, Tony decides he will eat some of his crime victims in the start to learn how they were murdered. And the story just takes a twist and turn, and it was I'm reading into the mid-40s of the series now. I'm kind of like a year and a half behind on reading. And with that being said, Chew has just delivered, honestly, some of the funniest stories I've seen in comic books. I mean, think about it. It's a world where chicken's illegal. There are psychedelic frogs known as chogs. That's a drug, by the way, which is hilarious in that world. Overall, I just, I'm happy to be getting back to comics. Speaking of people getting back, I feel like my co-host Brando has returned.
I have.
Oh, that was beautiful timing, man. You couldn't have timed it any better. So I just told the people, Brando, how I have been reading New 52 Flash. Honestly, there, two of the people that have been involved with the New 52 Flash, I would like to get on our show. Brian Buccioletto wrote the first 26 issues with Francis Manapal. They also did the inks and they did the color and the drawing for the book. Brian Buccioletto also did Sons of the Devil, our good friend Seek, a part of Sons of the Devil. So I'm going to try to get Booch on here. And then on the other side, in the later issues of Flash New 52, Norm Rapmond, who I'm friends with on Facebook, is the inker for that, and I would just love to get him on. He's a really fantastic artist. He's a really funny guy. So, long story short, I've read New 52 Flash. I'm excited for others to read it. It's coming to a close soon. The New 52 is almost done, so not a bad time to jump in. All the New 52 issues are only going to be 52 issues. How about that? It's like they almost planned the whole thing. So, anyways, in closing, Brandon, I'm going to lob this to you. What's our last bit of news, my friend?
Well, a very successful game from The Last Generation has had its sequel sort of leaked.
Okay.
Now, granted, there's been no official response to this, and I don't think there will be one.
Okay.
But essentially, there was an email that was received claiming that, like, a game has been in development for over 4 years. And before I tell you what that is, there was an Ask Me Anything on Reddit. And I'm trying to remember exactly what this guy, who this guy is and what he is. But he works in he's an ex-employee of this studio. And, he's doing an AMA, and it said, "Hey, Danny, long time, first time. Fuck this Q&A nonsense, and let's get to some real news. What the fuck does Rockstar have on deck?" And he responded with, "Really, dumbass? Really, two." Now, if you take
ha,
the
ha ha ha, I already see RDR2.
Mm-hmm.
Which would mean, can I say it, Brando? Can I say it? I'm excited. I loved that game, by the way. And to know that there might be a sequel, ugh.
Say it.
Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yep.
Holy fuck, that would be amazing. Genuinely one of my favorite games.
Oh, mine too. And apparently it sold over 15 million.
Wow.
Over its collective time. And that, you know, is the original release and probably the game of the year. Basically, it seems like they're going to announce it at E3. And
that's coming soon this summer.
Basically, they've This site has received an email from a reader who wishes to remain anonymous, saying that the game has been in development for over 4 years and is called Red Dead Redemption 2 Legends of the West. Now, take that with a grain of salt, because that's a person who just emailed them and they're running with that. They did say, you know, obviously anonymous reader.
That's speculation.
It is speculation. It could also turn out to be true. Somebody could just have been putting into this. He also claimed that the game will be coming out in the fall of 2017.
Damn.
And Rockstar is going to announce it during E3, which takes place in June of this year. He informed us that the game is going to contain more than one playable character and features such a much bigger open world. The source also claims to have acquired his information from an ex-Rockstar Games employee and also informed us that an HD remake of the original Red Dead Redemption is in development for the current consoles and releasing by the end of this year.
Sweet.
So,
Legends of the West, okay? Let's say that real quick. Is Adam West in this?
Yeah.
Okay, that's all I wanted to say. So, Brando, I'm super excited because I love Red Dead Redemption. I cannot wait for there to hopefully be a sequel. It'll be really pretty. It'll play phenomenally. I'm sure they're going to add a bunch of cool shit to it. It's going to be... Rockstar knocks it out of the park, man.
Mm-hmm.
They really do. They've never really disappointed me after I became a fan of Rockstar, if that makes any sense.
Well, I mean, they take their time, you know. They don't worry about rushing the game out. And then if they want to delay it, they'll delay it because they know on the back end it's going to more than pay for it. And,
exactly.
I mean, Red Dead Redemption is the second game in the Red Dead series, but with all due respect to Red Dead Revolver, that was not nearly as successful or as popular as Red Dead Redemption. So to call it Red Dead Redemption 2 is rightfully so, because that was sort of a reboot or a rebirth of that franchise. And to have that game do so well, it pales in comparison to GTA, but GTA had such a long history of establishing itself as a franchise. And while an Old West is, era of type of game is definitely... certain people aren't going to be into that, but I definitely think that with their level of quality and how good the first one was and how good GTA 5 was, that Red Dead Redemption 2 definitely has the capability and the promise of being an awesome freaking game. And they, to my knowledge and to my experience, Rockstar really always delivers every time they step up to the plate.
Absolutely agree on that. All right. Well, Brando, is there anything else you got for this week?
I am completely spent.
I tell you what, for this episode, we had a lot to talk about. We did it in a short amount of time. We're under an hour and a half, which is never happens when we're on together.
Whoa, that hasn't happened for a long time.
And you got cut off, and we got back into it. And I had to delay and make some shit up for a few minutes while I tried to figure out where you went. But on the flip side of that, I just want to tell people, I know I keep saying, hey, go check out our social medias, and I know you keep going to check out our social medias and not seeing shit all. Here's the issue. I'm waiting for one singular thing to show up at my doorstep, and then I'm going to literally be in the process of relaunching the Journey into Comics Instagram with a new picture and then trying to kind of do different shit all the time. But I'm waiting on the final Star Wars piece to come in on my pop collection so I can show you guys the pop collection in all of its glory. It's a beautiful thing. But I don't want to take the picture if it's missing one.
They'd be like, hey, look at my almost cool complete collection that's missing one.
It's not missing one. It's not missing any of the single pops. But anyways, I just want to tell people, go check out all of our social medias. You can see us at Journey into Comics on Instagram, find us Journey into Comics Podcast on Facebook, JIC Podcast on Twitter and Periscope, even though we haven't been Periscoping lately. You can email us at journeyintocomicspodcast@gmail.com. If there's nothing else, Brando, we're ready to wrap this, my friend.
We are.
All right.
This is it.
Well, this was Journey into Comics. I'm Nate.
I'm Brando.
Thanks for listening. Later.